Thank you for joining us for a very, very exciting teaching again. I believe that God is going to bless us today. I believe that we have just entered as the church, as the body of Christ. We have entered into a brand new season. And I believe that this season is a season of new things. And God has been preparing us, and God has also been informing us and letting us know about this new season that is about to come. And so I believe that God wants to do new things in the lives of his children, in the church, and I believe even in the world around us. We're going to see a fresh move from the Lord. Fresh move. I've been sitting with seasoned men of God, and there's a sense in their spirit, you know, that God is going to, there's a revival coming. But the thing about this revival is that it's not going to be about a specific man or a specific denomination. But God is going to use people that he wants to use. People that, you know, even when we look at the old revivals, it was not people that people even thought, you know, that this will be the guy or that will be the guy, the William Seymours, the Evan Roberts, and all these great men of God that lived and did that were alive. And God used them for great revivals. Speaking about revivals, and we're looking back now, coming to Isaiah, and we're looking at what God is about to do in this season and in this time. And as I say, God is going to do new things. The Lord has been dealing with me and sharing this particular word in my spirit, and I felt that God is, you know, getting us ready for new things. As a ministry, we have transitioned into a new season, and God has just been saying to me, you know, he's been saying to me and my wife, you know, I'm about to do new things in your life. I'm about to do new things in your life. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 42 verses 9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I love the easy English translation. It says, everything that I promised in past years has happened, which means God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? And will he not do it? Now I will tell you about new things. Before they happen, I will talk to you about them. God is assuring us, what I said then, it came to pass. What I'm saying now will also come to pass. And this is so, so powerful. And we need to be in that place where God can begin to do new things. We need to break out of the old mold. The Holy Spirit started sharing with me. He says, break out of the old mold. Break out of the yesteryears. Begin to experience the new thing that God has for us, for our lives. Sometimes we sit with people and we hear people speaking about yesteryears, how good those years were, what God did back then. The testimonies, our testimonies are backdated to certain times, but there's nothing that we testify about now. We're not speaking about what God is doing now. We speak about how God used us then. We speak about all the great miracles God did in so-and-so's ministries that has passed on. But today we are alive, and I believe that God wants to do new things. He's raising up a generation, a people that are going to yield to his spirit and says, Lord, I want to be a part of this new thing that you are about to do in the earth. Now, when we go to our text for today, we're going to look at Isaiah 43. We're going to look from verses 14 to 21. Now, the context of this particular text is where God is speaking to Israel, right? He's prophesying, Isaiah is prophesying to the nation of Israel. And God is saying, I will overthrow Babylon. He is still Israel's covenant God. And once again, he will redeem his people from bondage. Just as he miraculously led Israel through the Red Sea and across the desert in the time of Moses. So we will lead his people to the promised land again. As on the former occasion, he will protect them from danger. Provide for their needs along the way. This is our scripture reading for today. We're going to read this particular text. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Bible, but we're also going to use the NLT, and we're going to look at the Message translations as part of some of the words that has just been for our day and for our time. And so I'm just going to look into some of this, and we're going to break this down. And I believe that God has a word in season. I want somebody to prophesy and declare in the atmosphere of your life today, God is about to do new things. God is about to do new things. Isaiah 43 verses 14 to 21. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon. And I will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in through the sea, who makes a way through the sea, and a path through the mighty waters. We know with that this is speaking about when God brought them out of Egypt and took them through the Red Sea, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, and the army and the mighty man, Pharaoh and his men. This is a testimony of what God did. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. God promised Israel, the enemy that you seek, you will see no more. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder on the things of the past. Behold, I do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will glorify me, the jackal and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself. I will declare, and for myself will declare my praise. I love that scripture. Hallelujah. I've been meditating on this for two weeks now. We had a conference, we had guest speakers, and God started just ministering to me during this conference. It said God wants to do new things, and I felt God saying, you know, I want to change the way you see things. I want to change your outlook on life, but I want you also to get out of the mold. I want you to get out of, we were blessed with some powerful sermons that brought about how God works, you know, that God wants to break us out of old systems and introduce us into new systems. Those were the key phrases that was used throughout our conference. And while those words were continuously being repeated, I felt the Lord speaking to me and saying, get ready for a new season. Get ready for new experiences. Get ready for new encounters. Get ready for new things. I even heard the Lord, you know, speaking about people getting ready for things. You know, we have this particular guy in our ministry, came into our church, and he was a drummer, and God did such an amazing work in this man's life that he even now became a worship leader, and he's doing exceptionally well. And another thing that God has blessed him with, that he even started a business that he had no knowledge of, and right now God is blessing his business. He came into something new. Now this is one of the testimonies that blesses me when I think of what God has done for this lead in our ministry. And I thank God for his life. I thank God for what he has done through this boy, you know, through this young man, you know. And he's not actually a young man, he's actually a father with kids, and he's a blessed man of God. And he's been a blessing to the ministry. And you know, I'm just mentioning this because he came into the ministry and he had certain talents, but God gave him new talents, God gave him new abilities, and now he's excelling in those areas. I want to speak to somebody today. I want you to not limit God. I want you not to put God into this box, and you think God has been dealing with our family in this way and dealing with our lineage in this way, and out of our family only came this. But I want to declare today to somebody, God is about to do a new thing. God is about to do a new thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. When God begins to restore his people, God wants his people also now, not to continuously. You know, we're gonna break this down, and we're gonna look into this, and we're gonna ask God to enable us, so that we not be caught up in the old things. We want God to bring us into the new. We want God to bring us into the blessedness that God has in store for us. Hallelujah. We want God to bring us into the great things that God has in store for us. God wants to bring us into a place where we will experience the divine favor and the blessing of God. And I know that God has a word, and I know that God is going to lift you up, build you up, strengthen you, and empower you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Now it's amazing how God begins. When we look at verses 14 up to about verses 17, God is speaking about all the great things he has done for Israel. Now when we look at the Old Testament, we see when God delivered the people out of Israel. First of all, we see the great deliverance happening when the blood was put upon the doorpost, and the Bible says the angel passed over. The firstborn of those who died in Egypt were mostly, or all of them, were from the Egyptians, because then the They did not apply the blood. God saw the blood. The angel saw the blood pass over. And there was a deliverance for Egypt that night. Israel that night. Israel was brought out of the land of Egypt. They were brought out of the land of slavery and bondage. And from that moment on, there were miracles. There were miraculous signs and wonders. The Bible speaks about the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory, the cloud by night, the pillar of cloud by night, and the pillar of fire by day. The Bible speaks about many great wonders that God did for the children of Israel. The Bible says He opened up the Red Sea, and the children of Israel could pass through that Red Sea. Those were miracles of note. Those were miracles that has never happened before. Those were miracles that could not be explained by human means or anything. Hallelujah. But these were great things that God did for the nation of Israel. These were great things that God did for them. Now God goes further and He says, you know, in the book of Isaiah 43, and we look at verses 18, He says, do not remember the former things. Do not remember the former things. Yeah, God is speaking to the children of Israel and He's saying, you know, these things were great. These things were mighty. These things were wonderful. Now we're going to look at two sides of this. Hallelujah. These things, the miracles. And we're also going to look at the hardships with which Israel endured. But let's first look at the miracles. We see that Israel went through difficult times, went through hardships. And first of all, they went through the difficult times and hardships. And sometimes God wants us to come away from that place. Sometimes God wants us to move on. I believe God has also been dealing with me in that particular area in the season, you know, that it's time to move on. Sometimes we begin to sit on that in that place, or be stagnated in the place where we have been hurt, the place where we have been rejected, the place where we suffered pain, the place where we suffered sorrow, the place where we have gone through the difficulties of life. And this place becomes a place now where we camp. This is a place where we now become a place where we stagnate. We stagnate in that divorce. We stagnate in that business failure. We stagnate in that maybe that church hurt. We stagnate in that place where we suffered rejection and maybe gone through some things, and we find ourselves stagnating. But God is saying, remember, do not remember the former things. It's now time to move on. It's now time to move on from that place you were sitting, that heartache, that heartbrokenness. Yes, He left many years ago, and now you're still stuck there. You're still stuck in that pain. Sometimes we are still stuck in the bitterness. Sometimes we're still stuck in the resentment. Sometimes we get stuck in unforgiveness, but we must not remember the former things. It's time to move on. I want you to say to yourself today, it's time to move on. Hallelujah. The second thing God was saying to the nation of Israel, you know, do not remember. Now that is this is powerful. You know, He says, do not remember the former things. God wanted them to put their eyes on the new work He would do. So He began with a reminder to them to not remember these former things. God was about to do great things for Israel, but He knew if Israel's mind was stuck in the old, they would never be able to possess the new. And that is what happens many a time in the lives of the believer. You are so stuck in the past, so stuck in your past failure, in your past mistakes, that you cannot embrace what God is about to do now. And so when God begins to do a new thing, it begins to feel so strange that we even reject the new thing. I've seen this in the church of God. Sometimes people has gone up in growing up in the ministry, growing up in the church of God. And because they've grown up into the church, they are so in this mold that when God begins to do new things, it becomes so foreign to them that they reject the new move of God. They reject the Spirit of God. And so they even miss God in their ministries and in their lives. They don't realize that they become religious. They don't realize that they begin to idolize the past, and now they cannot embrace the future. God has been speaking to me about the church, and God has been saying, you know, the older generation has been so caught up and stuck in the old ways of doing things that they cannot embrace the new move of God. And God is doing such a new thing. And when we are not ready and prepared for the new thing, we will reject the new thing. And we will continuously move in the old, which is the old is not, how can I say, the old is outdated. And God wants to bring the new. And so we need to align ourselves with God in the season. We need to understand how God moves, because we might miss God. We might know. Now, I'm going to look at the scenario in the Old Testament. The Bible says when God spoke to Moses the first time, he said, strike the rock. When he struck the rock, water gushed out. The second time, Moses was irritated by the people. And God said to Moses, speak to the rock. Now, I believe Israel was watching Moses. And because they were watching Moses, God was going to do things differently. Now, I've seen this, and we've seen this throughout our generation. When God begins to do something, people begin to idolize a move. People begin to idolize a move of the Spirit at times. And people even begin to get so stuck in a certain move of the Spirit that they cannot even embrace a new move of the Spirit. And you find that, you know, there's been great moves over the decades, great moves of God. And we've seen it. We've seen the hand of God. We've seen the power of God. We've seen the manifestations of God. But I've seen this when I come into churches. Churches have a certain way they are flowing in. And because they are flowing in this mode, when you come with the new move of God, they reject, they resist the move, not knowing that God wants them to move on and not get stuck. God doesn't want us to get stuck. God wants us to move with Him. Somebody say, move with God. Somebody say, move with God. God wanted to do this new thing, and God wanted Israel to notice. And so God wants the church to notice in this day that God is about to do a new thing. Here God reminds us, the Bible teaches us, you know, if they were stuck in their failures and sin and discouragement of the past, they would never go forward to the new thing God had for them. We should not get stuck. I've said this earlier and I'm saying it again. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in the old. Don't get stuck in the past failures. Don't get stuck. Come on, somebody needs to rise up. Yes, you have failed before. Yes, you have been discouraged. Yet you have been manipulated. Yes, you have been abused. Yes, you have been hurt. But it's time to get up. It's time to move on. It's time to get going with God. It's time to get moving with God. It's time to break down that camp and begin to fold up that tent. Pack up camp and begin to move. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament, every time they saw the cloud lift, they knew they needed to pack up and they needed to move with the cloud. If they did not move with the cloud, the sun would have scorched them by the day and they would have died in the wilderness. They needed to move with God. We see this even when we look at Lot, the story of Lot. Lot's wife had an opportunity to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave them an escape plan. But Lot's wife was so caught up in Sodom and Gomorrah that she kept looking back, and the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. The generation that left Egypt did not see the promised land except for Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they were so caught up in the past. They were so stuck. They were they were delivered physically, but bound mentally. And we find that many a times. Many times God brings us out of something physically, but mentally we are still bound to that system. Mentally we are still bound to that thing of the past. And God wants you to know today, child of God, when God brings about deliverance, therefore the Bible says, be renewed in your mind. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed, but be renewed. I pray today that God will renew our minds. God will renew our minds. It's time for an upgrade. It's time for a reset. It's time for God to deal with the old patterns of thought so that we can come into the new season, so that we can come into the new time. Child of God, we need to align ourselves with what God is doing presently, because what we have done before might not work now. Sometimes we find that we try to use strategies of the past and we try to implement it in our present, and God has not given us that strategy for now. He has given us a strategy for then. The thing is, we need to come into alignment with God and understand that God is a moving God. God is a God that is moving. We need to come into this new thought pattern. We need to come into this new mindset. We need to renew our thinking, because God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as I said, when we look at this particular text, we see that it's fascinating that how in the one side of the text, in verses 16 to 17, God is speaking about the Red Sea and the deliverance. And then in the later part of the text, hallelujah, we're saying, God is saying, do not remember these things anymore. Do not remember. You know, I mean, not thinking on those particular things anymore, as great as they were. Now I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, God has been great to many of us throughout our lives. We've had great testimonies, great seasons in our lives, things that we can testify about, things that we can witness about. I have had great encounters. I mean, God was sharing with me, you know, sometimes we have encounters with the spirit, in the spirit realm. And God is saying sometimes we get stuck on an encounter where God wants to give us encounters. Sometimes we get stuck on one miracle when God wants to give us miracles. Sometimes we get stuck in one place where God has been good to us and God wants to continue to be good unto us. So God is not saying, you know, we must be ungrateful of what he did, but God is saying, listen, I want to do new things. I want to bring you into greater things. I want to bring you into greater dimensions that you have not known before. Hallelujah. I want you now to not remember the former things, and I don't even want you to consider the things of old. I don't want you to consider the things of old. So powerful. One of the scriptures says, you know, I'm just paraphrasing the text. It says, you know, I'm going to do such a great thing in you that you will not even remember those things that happened. You will not even remember Egypt, because the new things is going to be so overwhelming that Egypt is going to be a testimony. I was thinking about it today, you know, when you grow up, sometimes people have the advantage early life to buy their first car at an early age. And when they get to a certain age, they already bought maybe their 10th car. You know, yes, God was good that time when they bought that first car. And yes, it's something to have celebrated and something to have rejoiced in. But as the person comes to their 10th car, they sometimes even forget, you know, what that first car was like or that feeling. Because this new experiences is so overwhelming and filled with joy that they're looking back and they say, yes, God made me buy that first car. But look at what God has done now in my life. Come on, somebody needs to get ready for the now. Somebody needs to get ready for what God is about to do. I believe that a church move is going to start, that God is going to move in our churches like he has not moved before. We have idolized. I've read in the Old Testament when God said to Moses, make the pole, put it there, and the people that look at it, you know, they will be healed. And we look later on in the text in Numbers, the Bible says that they idolize this pole. And that is what we find. We find that even in the church, that many has idolized old moves of God. Many has idolized old things, old workings of the Spirit, as great as they were and as great as they are. But it's time for God, that once God wants to do a new thing. I sense it, that God is going to do a new thing in the Spirit. God is going to do a new thing in the church. We need to be movers with God. We must not get stuck, church of God. We must not get stuck in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We must not get stuck in the defeat and the failure of the past. But we need to move on with what God is doing in the present and in the future. Hallelujah. God is promising us that he wants to do greater things. Hallelujah. Than what he has done in the old. What God is about to do is nothing compared to what he is going to be greater to what he did. I want to say that again. What God has done in our past, God is going to do greater. The latter will be greater. Azusa Street was great, but I see a greater move coming on the horizon. I see a greater move of the Spirit. I see a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit like has never been seen before. Yes, the days of Azusa was great. Yes, the Welsh revival was great. Yes, the many revivals of old, they were great. Yes, the miracle man, A.A. Allen. Yes, the Jack Coles, the Smith Wigglesworth. They were great men and women of God that God used. Catherine Kuhlman. And all those, but God is bringing the church into a new season of great, great revival, great outpouring. Yes, we are learning from those of yesteryears, but yet we must align ourselves with the God of the present, with what God wants to do, what God is about to do. I sense the Holy Spirit is about to do. If we yield ourselves to the Lord, God is about to download new systems, new templates, new ways of reaching our communities and our society. We can see God do a new thing. Yes, we went into lockdown and everybody said a new normal is developing, but I don't think we've come into that new normal truly as the church of God as a whole. Yes, maybe some has grabbed it and some has taken it and we see advancement, but I believe that many of us got stuck in 2019. But it's time that we break out of the mold. Father, break us out of the mold in the name of Jesus Christ. God is about to do great things. Hallelujah. We must not come into a season and in a time where people will have a reason to ask, as Gideon asked, where are all the wonders that our fathers told us of? You know, this is a question that sometimes people ask in our generation. Where is the wonders that the people has told us about? Where is the wonders that we have seen? Where's the God of Azusa? Where's the God of Wigglesworth? Where's the God of Benson? Yes, yes, yes. I know some people will say, no, we don't need that. We don't need that anointings, and we don't need that mantles, and we don't need what they did. Yes, obviously we don't. We need greater, because we're in a new season, we're in a new generation, we have moved on. But yes, where is that God? Today we do not see it. We want to see. You know, sometimes I think when people just testify, people look at us and think about, you know, where is that God? I want to see that God. But I want to declare today that right now, even as I speak, the God, as you open up your heart and open up your life to the move of the Spirit of God, as you open up yourself to obedience. I like what somebody said. God does not respond to our need, but God responds to our obedience. My God, sometimes when we find ourselves, you know, thinking that God is going to respond to the need, but God is actually requiring an act of obedience from our side, placing our faith in God and believing what God is saying. I believe that God wants to do great things in the lives of many ministers and ministries, but we need to get into the flow of the Holy Spirit. We need to get into the move of God, and that is where we are going to. We need to get into that place where we will not question, where is the God that did wonders? We can to see this God do great things. The Bible says, behold, I do a new thing. Staying stuck in the past can keep us from the new thing God wants to do. Staying stuck in the past will keep us from the new thing that God wants to do. It's time that we break out. It's time that the church of God breaks out. It's time that we come into alignment with God. It's time that we come into the flow of the Spirit of God. Yes, what they did back then was great and it worked. But God is aligning us as the man and woman of God of this generation and say, get into the Spirit. Get in tune with the Spirit and begin to walk and live with my Spirit. Hallelujah. If Israel stayed stuck in the discouragement and the seduction of Babylon, they would never look for the new thing of release from exile. Sometimes people get so stuck in the pain, so stuck in the discouragement, so stuck in the things that has brought bondage, heartache, and trouble. But God is saying, it's time for you to break out. God is saying, it's time for you to break out. Yes, it is over. Yes, today I want to declare it is over. The past pain is over. You are breaking out now, child of God. You don't have to get stuck there. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be bound there. God is bringing you out in the name of Jesus. We have been brought out. For many, we have been brought out, but yet we are still stuck. Our mind is still thinking about the leeks and the food back in Egypt, where God has a Canaan overflowing with milk and honey. It's time that you change your mindset. It's time that you renew your mindset through the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to move in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When God forgives and restores His people, He wants them to forget the failures of the past, witness for Him in the present, and claim His promises for the future. Why should we remember that which God has forgotten? I'm going to say that again. When God forgives and restores His people, He wants them to forget the failures of the past, witness for Him in the present, and claim His promises for the future. Why should we remember that which God has forgotten? Child of God, it's time to move on. It's time to break out of the mold. It's time to take hold of that which God has for your life. Israel had to move in and possess the promised land. They did not all set up camp at one time. They needed to move on and take a hold of what God has for them. It's time for you to move on, child of God. It's time for you to take what God has for you. Hallelujah. It's time for us to get into this, into the new thing that God wants to do. Hallelujah. We must be careful that as children of God, that we also do not get tossed about by every wind of doctrine, and that is true, but we can also err on the other side of the balance and work against the new thing that God wants to do. Sometimes everything that is new, we discard of it. Everything that is new, we get rid of it. But we need to understand that we need to be spiritual. We need to discern what is a move of God and what is not the move of God. What is God saying? I know there are some crazy things that are happening in our generation, and some things we must discard off. But there are things that I think that we have discarded off because our minds have not been moving with the Spirit of God. We have missed what God wants to do. I'm busy with a study of Joshua, and you know some of the things that God did when Joshua then went into Canaan. It's things that are so phenomenal. You find that the walls of Jericho, I mean, this is something that no strategy, no army has ever had before. And your God says to Joshua, do this. And Joshua acts out of obedience, obeys God, and the rest is history. It was something that has never been done before. I believe that God is challenging us in this generation. There are things that we have not seen, there are templates that has not yet been downloaded or released from the heavens. But God is waiting for obedient, yielded people that will carry out this great divine assignment in this end time. And God will show himself strong on behalf of those who are willing to trust him. Hallelujah. The Bible goes further, he says, shall you not know it? God is asking the same question today. Will you stay in step with my spirit when he leads into something new? Shall you not know it? Will we continue in the step of the spirit? Joshua had to be in step with the spirit. When Joshua went out of step of the spirit, the Bible says a small army like I destroyed or chased Israel back. But when they came in step with the Spirit and did what God wanted them to do, then they began to be overcomers. Therefore, we walk by the Spirit of God. For the Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. I've come to realize, I've reached the age of 40 right now, and I've come to realize that many people in our generations that has been obedient to the Spirit of God, that stayed in sync with God, accomplished great, great things in the kingdom. We find those who are out of step, and I found myself many times out of step, and I did not experience the rewards of God. And I believe that sometimes, even as the church, when we don't find, or as the believer, as the child of God, when we do not find ourselves in the Spirit and acting according to the Spirit, we then find ourselves missing God and doing things that are out of line. Moses struck the rock, and the Bible says, and God said to Moses, you shall not enter into the promised land. The Bible says, when the Spirit of the Lord said to the king through the prophet, strike the floor, he struck the floor a certain amount of times. He did not get into the Spirit, and the man of God was furious and said to him, you know what? If you only did this more times, you would have overcome the enemy. My God, sometimes we need to be ready. We need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. We need to be in tune with the voice of God. The old prophet, the Bible says there was a prophet. God said to him, go this way and do not stop for nobody. Don't do anything. He yielded to the voice. But then something happened that somebody came and distracted him. An older prophet, which obviously I felt that maybe he honored the man of God. And because of that honor, he now disobeyed God and he paid with his life. There were many things throughout the Word of God. Many times when we find when the children of Israel and when the people of God obeyed God in certain ways, that's why when we read through the Old Testament, we see how people obeyed God, and because of the obedience to the voice of God, things that have never happened before, but because of obedience to the voice of God, they overcame. Joshua said to the priest, step with your feet into the water. When they stepped with their feet into the water, now previously it was done with a rod, now this time it's done with this priest stepping their feet into the water, and the Jordan opened up for the Israelites to pass through. You see, we need to be in step and in sync with the Spirit. We need to know what God is saying. We need to know what God is doing. We need to get into that place, child of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God like never before. But I believe what is holding the people of God bound, we are caught up in systems. We are caught up in old structures, old mentalities, and we find ourselves bound. God has a miracle that has your name written on it, but God wants the act of obedience. Sometimes we need to trust God crazy. Sometimes we need to have crazy faith. Peter jumped out of the boat. Peter jumped out of the boat, and he walked on that water. He listened to the voice of God. Come on, child of God. We need to listen. We need to yield to the Spirit of God. God is calling us. All the time, our miracle is an act of obedience away. Our miracle is an act of obedience away from us. And we need to get into sync with the Spirit. When we read from Genesis right through Revelation, we find that when man were obedient to God and in line with the Spirit, God did great things. God, you know, there's so many we can testify about, so much we can testify about. But even, you know, I find that whenever they tried to do an old thing, they got caught up. Whenever they tried to do something that they knew how, they failed. But when they got in line with the Spirit, they succeeded. It's time for you to get in line with the Spirit of God and follow His leading, follow His prompting, and then you will succeed and overcome in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I will make a road in the wilderness between the captivity in Babylon and the return to Israel. Lay 100 kilometers of wilderness. Hallelujah. God's people didn't need to be afraid because God would make a road in the wilderness, provide rivers in the desert, and even protect His people from animals, because the beast of the field will honor me, the Lord says. They have done this before. They have walked through the wilderness. God gave them divine protection. I look back at the book of Numbers when there was a prophet that wanted to curse Israel, but he could not curse. He said, how can I curse whom God has blessed? Because they were in line with God. When you are in line with God, no devil or demon can fight you. When you're in line with God, then no devil or demon can rise up against you. When you are aligned with God, they can say what they want to those witches, those wizards, those angomas, those wicked people, those wicked leaders. They must to curse you and speak curses and things over you. It will not succeed. But what you need to do, get in line with God. Somebody says, get in line. If you're not in line, realign. I prophesy today, realign with the Lord. I make this declaration. Realign with the Lord, for the Lord shall be with you. The Lord shall be with you. Jesus said, I will be with you even till the end of the age. Often when God makes promises, we worry about the details or the obstacles for the fulfillment of the promise. God replies to us, don't worry about it at all. When God gives us promises, many times, and most of us are caught up in this, when God speaks to us, there comes times in our lives where we try to figure this out. We try to work it out. But I'm telling you, I've seen this, I've heard this, and I've even experienced this. God does never give us the full plan. God never gives us the full outcome. God just says, do this. And when we do this, we see that. And God is saying to somebody today, you know, I will be with you. I want you to know, I will be with you all the way. When we see Reinhard Bonnke coming into Africa years ago, I mean, he came, he preached to 5. God was with the man until he died, led over 77, if I'm correct, million people to the Lord. When you hear these testimonies, I sat with a seasoned man of God and I heard his story, and I was so amazed at what God has brought him through and how God has made a way for him and how many times he needed to possibly trust God and believe God. I mean, hear this when you sit with man and seasoned man of God that has achieved great things for the Lord. When they sit and they testify about God's goodness, you hear about times they had to trust God when it felt impossible. Times when people had to take mission trips without a cent and had to go to places and then get the tickets at the place and then travel where they needed to go. There were people that needed to act out and trust God for where they were going. Some people stepped into places where they didn't know what was going to come, what was going to be, how it was going to come. I remember when we stepped 5.5 years ago into Cape Town, we did not know what to expect. But today we can give God the glory and the honor for the great things He has done. I believe that God wants us to know He's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to make a way for you. God is going to bring you through that situation. God is going to prosper that business, even though you do not see it now. If God has given you a business and you say, but how am I going to do this? God says, don't worry. God says, I will be by your side. God has called you to ministry and it seems impossible right now where you are standing. Trust God. Believe God. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's going to bring you through where there seems to be no way. I want to say to somebody, by tomorrow this time, it might look impossible, but the word of the Lord has gone out. We know that the Lord, word of the Lord that goeth forth out of His mouth shall not return unto Him empty or void, but it shall accomplish every good thing. I want to say to somebody today, the word of the Lord over your life shall come to pass. The word of the Lord over your life shall manifest. The word of the Lord in your story shall be what God wants it to be. Your story shall change for His glory. My God, I see somebody coming out. I see somebody experiencing the promises of God. I see somebody overcoming obstacles. I see over somebody overcoming challenges. I see the fulfillment of God's promises. I love what God said to in the book of Joshua. Not one of God's promises failed. I just want to get the scripture because It's something that has stuck with me in this season, something that has really been a great enlightenment and upbuilding and a motivation to me. And I've really, really enjoyed just looking at this continuously and just being reminded that God promised the children of Israel promises. And the Bible says, hallelujah, not in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. God is going to fulfill his promises unto you. God is going to fulfill his word unto you. God is going to fulfill that which he has spoken unto you, child of God. Do not become discouraged or disheartened. Do not look at the mountain. Do not look at the obstacles. Do not look at what you are facing right now. But know that God is going to bring you through. Know that God is a promise keeper. God is not a man that you should lie. Neither is he the son of man that you should repent. When God said to Israel, when you go through the waters, I will be with you and you shall not drown. When you go through the fires, you shall not burn either. Glory be to God. Somebody's going through, you're not getting stuck. Hallelujah. He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness. I have resources and plans you do not know about. Leave them up to the Lord. There's resources that God has for you. Right now, the resources are coming. I'm telling you, man, my wife is in a season of great fruitfulness. We are seeing the hand of God. We are seeing the provision of God. We are seeing that even it feels like a dream. The Bible says when he brought Israel out of captivity, it felt like a dream. I'm telling you, when God is getting ready to bless you, it will feel like a dream. It will feel like, God, I do not even deserve this. But God says, I've got your back. I've got you covered. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank God for resources of lands, buildings, properties that is coming for missionaries and churches. And we are getting resources in to have mass evangelism, crusades, sound equipments are coming in, business properties are coming. God is doing great things. Resources are being released in the name of Jesus. When Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible says, and manna came and manna rained, hallelujah, upon them. And I believe today that God is about to send supernatural provision your way. God is about to bring in for you great things. Hallelujah. I love the story about the manna, because they collected it in the morning and they could only keep it for the day, because God doesn't want us to get stuck on old supplies and old resources. God wants us to every day look unto him and know that his mercies are new every day. God wants to bless us every day. I right now step into that vein with God, that blessings will pursue me and blessings will overtake me. I'm the head and not the tail. I shall go above only, and I shall not go beneath. The blessings of the Lord that make it rich and added no sorrow is my portion. Somebody get ready in the name of Jesus. God is about to do it for you. God is about to cause water to come out of a rock. God is about to bring supernatural provision your way. God is about to bring supernatural resources your way. Supernatural. It's going to be supernatural. It's a season of supernatural. We are stepping out of the natural and into the supernatural. Somebody get ready for supernatural. The Lord is taking you out of the natural realm into the supernatural realm, where God, the Bible says, and Jesus broke the bread and Jesus fed the 5,000. I'm telling you, God is about to bring supernatural resources into your bank account. You'll be able to settle your debt. You'll be able to pay up things. You'll be able to do things. You'll be able to buy things cash, because God is with you. God is bringing the churches into alignment. Properties and lands which we never had, we shall receive supernaturally. People will step into our churches, step into our lives, and begin to release the resources of God in the name of Jesus. Somebody say supernatural. And then we come to the end of this particular portion of scripture. The Bible says, and then you shall declare my praise. This part fulfilling the purposes of God. God created us for is that, hallelujah, is that we would bring God glory. Remember, we are God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. God has his hand upon us. God has his hand upon us. God put his seal upon us according to Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14. He put his seal upon us. Hallelujah. We belong to God. We are His children. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. Somebody say, I belong to God. I am not alone. I am not alone. I belong to God. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. When we declare our praises for God, we are giving Him glory and fulfilling one of the purposes we were created for. Our lives must bring glory unto the Lord. Our lives must bring praise unto the Lord. Now, continuous defeat, getting stuck in the past, living in discouragement, living in a past life, living from the old blessings, does not bring God the glory. When God begins to do new things in our lives, people begin to behold the Lord. People begin to say that the Lord is with them. People begin to recognize God in your life. People will begin to come to the Lord and they will begin to praise God for your testimony and for your life. The Bible says when Jesus did miracles, many believed. I believe that the miracles that God does in your life will be a reflection of His glory, will be a reflection unto who God is, that God is great. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, the people feared God. They feared the God of Israel because they saw what the God of Israel could do. I believe that God is going to work in our lives and through our lives to such an extent that man and woman will begin to know that God is with us, and this will bring praise, glory and honor to the Lord. They will say, surely the Lord is on their side. Surely the Lord has done great things. Surely the Lord has done it for their children, their family, their marriages, their business, the churches. And as they go from glory to glory, they will magnify the Lord. They will praise the Lord. They will give honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Child of God, I believe that when God does great things and new things in your life, people, they will be a reflection of His glory. People will praise Him and honor Him. People will serve God because of you. People will begin to honor God because of your marriage, because of your the salvation of your son, your daughter, the deliverance of your family. They will magnify the Lord because they will say, if the Lord did it for them, the Lord can do it for me. I say, reposition, reset yourself and get yourself ready for what God wants to do. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verses 9, but you are not like that. For you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. When we are prospering, when we are healed, when we are excelling, when we are moving forward, when we are accomplishing great things for God, the Bible then teaches us, now we can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. We can now glorify God through what God is doing in our lives. Living in misery, living in defeat, living being overcome by the enemy, living in systems that has already expired does not bring glory to God. But the new, the fresh, and those the things that God has predetermined for this season, as God has spoken it, so it shall be. We align ourselves in the name of Jesus. Church, let us get in alignment with God. Let us align ourselves with the plan and purposes of God. For God is the God of great things. Today, I believe that God has brought us this prophetic message for the season, that God is saying, I'm about to do new things. I'm about to do new things. Realign, readjust, reset, renew your mind and get into alignment with the Lord. Get into that place where you will be in sync with God. There's some things that God is upgrading in the church. Some methods are not going to work again. Some things are not going to work again. We need to get the new template. We need to get the new methodology. We need to get the new way of doing things, and God will bless what he has instructed, what He has given. God will bless. So I want to encourage you today, Church of God, let's realign ourselves. Let's get aligned in the Spirit. Let's walk with God. Let's begin to see what God will do. God promises us He will be with us, but we need to align ourselves with Him. We need to look at what God is about to do. God is about to do greater things. God is about to do greater miracles. God is about to do greater. There's coming greater provision. There's coming greater ways of resources finding its way into our lives. God is about to do it for you. Realign yourself, renew your mind in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for my new season. Somebody give God praise, glory, and honor and say today, I thank the Lord for my new season. I thank the Lord for my new time. I thank the Lord for my new season in Him. Today, I stand in awe of what God is about to do as we come into this new season as the church, as we realign ourselves with what God wants to do. God bless you. Now, today, the first thing that we need to do according to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All the old things have passed away. The Bible says, behold, everything has become brand new. Now today, God wants us not only to experience those new things in life, but God wants you to have a new start. God wants you to have a new start. God wants your life to be transformed. God wants you to walk away from sin. God wants you to walk away from the past life. The past life. Now remember, even some children of God, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Let us no longer live as in the past. Let us no longer walk with the sins of yesteryears. Let us no longer live in the things of the past, but we are new creations in Christ Jesus. For the Bible says, and I quote it again, you are new creations in Christ Jesus. All the old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. Let's move with the new that God has made us. Let's move with the new creation that we are in Christ. Let's move with who God has made us to be now. We are no more that which we were and who we used to be, but we are now new creations in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Hallelujah. We are entirely new people. Hallelujah. I like what the Passion Translation. Let's read this as we close. Now, if anyone is unfolded in Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. You are fresh and new. Now, if you have never served Jesus Christ or never made him Lord of your life, and you today feel that you need this new beginning in your life, you need to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, then I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again. Today I repent, that today I confess that I'm a sinner and I am in need of your saving grace. Today I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And today I believe that the precious blood cleanses me and washes me from all sin and unrighteousness. Today I'm born again. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.